This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation Week 9 in the NFL. Happy Halloween as we are broadcasting live on October 31st. I am Bill Enright. With me, as always, is Todd DeVries. Todd, what's going on, man? I know you're a big Halloween guy.
I sure am. Can you guess what this sound is, Bill? Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ready?
That's some kind of candy that you're going to eat.
Candy corn.
Candy corn. You're a big candy corn fan?
Oh, I like to binge on it.
That was like an orgasmic sound right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to cut that up. You like candy corn? Oh.
You think? About three times during the month of October, I get a bag of this stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever this stuff is. Just basically sugar just all molded together.
So you just love it.
And I just pound it. And then I feel like complete crap.
The big question is, and I mean, this may work out well for you tonight, Todd, but so will you do the kids trick-or-treating and then come home and watch the football game, or how does that work?
All right, here's the deal. Our show ends at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, right?
Right, yeah.
Guess what time trick-or-treating starts in our neighborhood?
4:30.
6 o'clock.
Oh, God.
So it'll be interesting. I don't know what I'm doing. I guess I'm going to run around with the kids in the neighborhood and then get back and watch some of the game.
Who's happier right now? Todd, for the fact that he has candy corn and it's Halloween, or Kevin Collins because the Red Sox won the World Series?
I'm pretty happy. But I think Todd's got more enthusiasm because I'm pretty tired.
Yeah?
I'm not going to lie to you. Half asleep at the wheel here.
Were you at the game?
I was at the game.
Was that awesome?
It was amazing. It was a experience that I will never, ever forget.
How are your seats?
I actually didn't have a seat. I got in for free.
What does that mean?
I know enough media people that I was able to be smuggled in, and I got down on the field after the game.
Come on.
I'm not kidding you. There's photographic evidence on Facebook.
I saw the photo. You didn't see the picture, Bill? He's in the dugout right after they won.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
He's got his arm around Big Poppy.
No. I don't have my arm around Big Poppy, but I was
kidding.
In the dugout.
But
no, it was really cool. It was a night I'll never forget. I took a ton of pictures until my phone. You know how it works with the cell phones, especially when it's cold. The battery ends up dying on you.
Right.
But fortunately, I had enough media friends on the field from 98.5 and from other places that I worked before here that they were able to take a bunch of pictures and like email and text them to me. So when I got my phone charged, I got them all this morning. So it was great. But I didn't get home. I didn't get home and get to bed till around 4.
Now, I don't have this problem because I hate baseball.
Yeah.
So I only root for football.
It's special for me, though.
Do you have are the Red Sox your team, or do you like the Patriots more?
I think since starting working for the Patriots, I like them more now. But
swung in that direction.
But as a kid, I was definitely more of a Red Sox fan. I was more of a baseball fan because I played baseball. And I played, you know, in high school, I was like a varsity baseball player, not a varsity football player.
Right.
And so that had something to do with it. I also played basketball, but I'm not a huge NBA guy. I don't really like the NBA. But no, the Red Sox in 2004, I was a senior in high school, and I went to 42 Red Sox games.
Wow.
And I did like New York that year. I did Baltimore that year, and I went on the road a couple times. And that was a special year, and I was able to go to games in the American League Division Series and the Championship Series in both in both 04 and 07, but I had never been to a World Series game until last night.
When the Patriots were winning Super Bowls in the early 2000s, you weren't with the team yet.
No, I went to the AFC title game when they won in 2004 when they beat the Colts, which was awesome.
Oh, I bet.
And I went to all the parades and was like, I'll say just as into it, but there was something about the Red Sox as I'll say from age like 5 to like age 20 or so, there was something about them. I think it was just, you know, the drought and
that they never won.
Yeah, and also like I grew up, my grandpa like kind of got me into sports when I was a kid, and my dad worked for American Airlines and he was always on the road, so I spent a ton of time with my grandparents.
Right.
And so he was a huge baseball guy, and we would just sit there and just watch baseball game after baseball game after baseball game, and I think that helped contribute to it, too.
See, I have nothing to offer in this conversation because it's just Super Bowl or bust for me. I don't care about the World Series. care about the NBA championship. No. Final Four. I guess, you know what, when Syracuse was in the Final Four, that was fun. But, like, my friends last night were texting me, like, this is, you know, World Series celebration with all the champagne and everything, one of the greatest moments in sports. And I just can't relate. Like, it does nothing for me.
That's like, and I totally understand that. It's different. Like, the Super Bowl is like, there's nothing like it because it's a one-game thing.
Right.
You know? And when you have a seven-game series or whatever, you can argue that, maybe your entertainment value goes up a little because it's spread over the course of a week, right? But for me to have that do-or-die game, you know, where there are no do-overs and that the best team doesn't always win, you know, you can steal one in a one-game series where it's harder to do that in a seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
There's something special about the Super Bowl, and to me that is my favorite. Having been to the Super Bowl, that is still my favorite. Like, that was the pinnacle of all the games I've been to. Like, I've been to an NBA Finals game, I've been to a Stanley Cup game, I've now been to a World Series game, and I've now been to a Super Bowl. So I've been to all four, which is something people my age rarely, you know, have the experience to do.
I hope everyone in the New England area understands how unbelievably blessed and spoiled they've been.
Yeah, this is 8 parades in the last, like, 10 years. It's unbelievable.
That's why I was wondering, because I know that last night was the first time they won it. They clinched it in Fenway.
At home, since 1918, 95.
But still, they've won 3 in 10 years, right?
Yes, they've won 3 in 10 years, and the first two were clean sweeps, which is why they won on the road. But to have, I think a lot of people, you know, you're not going to complain when your team wins a championship. But,
no, of course not.
But to have them win, like, kind of here locally, so you can kind of, like, be part of it.
That's awesome.
Was something that this area hasn't had since 1918. And there's, like, a lot of generations of people that never, you know, saw them win the World Series in person.
Right.
And so for me to have that experience, and I know, like I was telling you about my grandfather, he was born in November of 1918, so he was born right after they won, and he died in 2003, the year before they won again. So he never saw them win.
Man.
So, like, it was kind of special, like, for me to be there, you know? And, it, that's the thing about, like, for some reason, guys, and it's hard to relate to other areas, but the Red Sox were king around here because it was just, like, a very, like, family-oriented thing, and the struggle was so long. Like, you know, we're talking about 86 years or whatever it was. You had all these generations of people that were, like, passing away that were, like, huge diehard fans that never saw it, and that next generation would be there to experience it, and you would see tons of, like, you know, people bringing, like, you know, dirt from the infield to gravestones and stuff like that. It was, like, a really cool, like, family connection thing. And it's really hard, I think, for other people outside of this market to kind of understand, and they think we're all crazy, which is fine. They're entitled to that opinion. But when you're here and you kind of, like, you know, you go to the games as a kid and you're, you know, you're brought by your dad or you're brought by your grandpa, like, in any sport, that's what it's like. But then to have such a prolonged period of struggle and never, you know, to have a generation or two generations of your family that never experienced the joy that comes with winning a title after all that suffering,
mm-hmm.
Is a special thing. And that, for me to be there, the only regret I have, guys, and I was talking to the PFW guys about it, you know, they were talking about their sons who are all, I'll say, less than 10 years old. And they woke him up, like, in the last inning, so, you know, for the kids to see it. And I think that in this area, after going so long without a title, you know, you never know when you're going to get another one. So you want to experience that moment with your son or your daughter or whoever it is. Like, the only thing that would have made last night better is for me to have my dad there, but it just, like, wasn't going to happen. I mean, I was extremely fortunate to get in, and I was texting him pictures, like, live, you know, pictures from around the park, like, every 5 minutes, which is why my phone died. So I was trying to do everything I could to kind of, like, make him feel like he was there, you know?
Right.
But it was a special night, one that I'll never forget.
That is something special about being there with your father or, you know, sharing that kind of experience.
Yeah, and that can happen, Bill, like, at a Super Bowl or whatever your sport is, Bill. You know what I mean? Whatever your cup of tea is, whatever your team is, there's something special about it because for most of us, we get into a team or a sport because it's taught to us when we're young, right?
Right.
And so for me, it happened with my grandpa, and then my dad, you know, as I got older, my dad would step in and, like, he taught me how to hit and taught me how to throw and, like, you know, was at all the games and this, that, and the other. So it's like there's that special connection between father and son that sport kind of helps foster that bond. So whether it's football, basketball, hockey, whatever it may be, you know, I give a lot of credit to the hockey dads because those are brutal because so many times these kids, like, the only ice time that
you're up at 4 a.m.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's like a whole different thing, where as opposed to after school when you go to baseball practice, you're talking about parents up 3:30, quarter of 4 in the morning, bringing their kid to the rink and then going to work.
Right.
You know, you bring the kid to the rink, you shower him up, you give him breakfast, you send him to school, then you go to work, and it's like, holy Moses.
Yeah.
So, you know,
my kid will not be playing hockey.
No, so no
for
matter,
that reason.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Bill. No matter what the sport, like, it's always special when whether it's your dad, your mom, your uncle, your grand, whoever kind of introduced you to it, it's nice to share in that with them.
Todd, you're a big college football guy. Any good national championship stories?
You don't want to hear my play.
That was like a sinister laugh.
You don't want to, you know, I have my own little drought going with my team, so I don't, you know.
Todd, what's your
college
team?
I looked at Boston, and I looked at Boston, and I'm like, oh, they're in the World Series again. And I was like, didn't they just win? Like, the Bruins, the Celtics, you know, everybody wins in Boston, so.
What's your college team, though, Todd?
I went to Penn State, man.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I went to Penn State. They won the title in 82. They went to the title game in 79, mm-hmm. Okay? Lost to Alabama on the fourth down stand. Won the title in 82. Won the title in 86. And went to the title in 85, too. So they were, like, going to the title every other year.
Right.
I went to the school in 1990, okay? And I figured, well, in one of my 4 years, you know, we'll do something special, right? No, didn't happen. And not only that, but right when I graduated, they had the undefeated season and got screwed in the polls by Nebraska.
Wow.
We went out to the Rose Bowl and basically crushed Oregon, but it didn't matter because Nebraska won their game, and so they got the title. So I've had a lot of struggle. And now Penn State, you know, and we had the Sandusky thing. And
right.
Just brutal, brutal. But then, all my other teams, too. Some of them haven't won since I was 2 years old. One hasn't won since my dad was 12. So
what are you happy so far, Todd, with the job that Billy O's doing, trying to get things right? Or are you unsatisfied? How do you feel about that?
Bill O'Brien, his hands are tied.
Yeah, no, I know. But, I mean, they've won some games. They've done better than I think a lot of people thought they were.
Yes, he's done an outstanding job. And his leadership, I know it's all cliche and everything.
That's
especially in college.
And that's a really hard spot to walk into. I mean,
ridiculous spot, because he walked into it before the punishment came down.
Exactly.
So he came into it thinking, okay, it's already hard enough following a legend and all that. And then, you know, there was all the terrible, you know, just skeletons in the closet that were coming out like every day. Something new was coming out.
Right.
A few months later, you know, the NCAA drops the hammer, and then he's like, well, what the hell am I doing here, you know? But to his credit, you know, he's done a tremendous job. Like, leadership-wise, I mean, unbelievable. And recruiting, he's doing a good job. Hands are tied, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But he's legit, man. If he can stay, I mean, I really think he'll turn them around. But it's going to take some time because they just don't have enough scholarships. But enough about Penn State. What are we doing here? They're getting me all angry. My candy corn high here is starting to fade.
Well, I want to hear from Kevin. Kevin, do you like Halloween?
It's not my favorite holiday, but I mean, I liked it as a kid.
I've never been a Halloween fan.
No, I mean, it's not. I gotta be honest, Bill. I haven't dressed up probably in like 5 or 6 years. But I'm a huge like Thanksgiving and Christmas guy. I like those two holidays. Halloween was never really my jam.
Was it your jam?
No, I mean, I was too nice a kid to go TP houses and throw eggs, and I was just sort of like, I guess, not cool enough to pull off a cool costume. I was just kind of a loser on Halloween.
See, Todd loves Halloween, but I don't like it.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I don't like it, but it's just like when you talk about holidays, like I definitely think Thanksgiving and Christmas.
That's how Bill described it to me earlier. Of course it doesn't hold a candle to Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah.
Those are seasons. Like, those are, you know, Thanksgiving's of you get off work, it's a 40,
right. Yeah.
It's a 40, football, food and all that. I mean, Halloween in my house, it's really just a one-night thing. Yeah, that's it. It's
Halloween's a one-night stand, baby.
Yeah, but, you know, it's fun. I always liked it. I like the movies that go around with it. I like the horror movies and all that. Bill doesn't like any of that.
I don't like horror movies.
No, I don't like horror. I like comedy. Horror movies scare me.
Kevin, you and I are so similar. Horror movies scare the bejesus out of me. I can't stand them. Thank you. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and then I'll have bad dreams.
Exactly. I have nightmares, legit. Yeah, this 28 years old, I still have nightmares.
I'm just not going to put myself through that.
And it sucks because my girlfriend loves them. And I'm like a big, you know.
I'm a baby, too.
Girly guy.
And then there's like you're eating the candy, and it's bad for you, and it's just sitting all around. And
I don't like candy either.
See, I love jeez, I love candy. Those sound like Tic Tacs, by the way.
Yeah.
I love candy, but it's just, I have no self-control. I'll go through a whole bag of something.
Now, we're doing this show for the next 2 hours as we're broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio. So from 4 to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard, there better be no one coming knocking on my door for Halloween candy because I'm not opening it. My lights are off. My door is locked. I have no Halloween decorations out.
Oh, my goodness, Todd. Your kids would be throwing eggs at Bill's house right now if they were walking by.
He's the Scrooge of Halloween.
That's fine with me. Get off my property.
He's like Gran Torino with the shotgun. Get off my lawn.
Exactly.
Yeah, last Halloween you dressed up as Bane or something, Bill?
Yeah, as Bane from Batman. That was a good costume.
And you pulled it off. I saw the picture.
That's what you should do.
You should just answer the door one time in that costume, and that'll be it for the night. No one will come to your door.
I live in a very kid-friendly neighborhood, and I'm so sick of it. Every year, these kids are banging on the door.
Bill, do you want to have kids one day?
Yeah, of course.
So you're going to have to take the Rugrats out at some point, like Todd.
That's not true. As long as, as long as there's Thursday Night Football, but I realize Halloween's not always on Thursday.
Bill, here's
my... So is the Thursday Night Football your out card? Like, I got to work, so I have to... Okay.
Yep.
Well, here's my choice, Bill. What would you rather do if you were me?
Hand out the candy or walk around?
Walk around the neighborhood, talk to some parents, some of which are cool. And just kind of walk or at least wander around or sit at home and answer the door every 5 seconds.
No. See, I'd rather walk around.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a really good point. Because, you know, with the kids coming to the door, you know, they knock and then it's like you open the door and there's like two kids there. And that's fine. That's quick. You can throw them a Kit Kat bar or whatever candy you're giving out. But then, like, the next group will come 30 seconds later and it'll be like 15 kids. Like, I don't have time for that.
Well, here's what bothers me. You get the group of 15, okay? And the first 12, 13, 14, boom, 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 they have their stuff, they're gone. But the last one, he'll look in the bag that you're, you know, whatever tray of candy you have or whatever, bowl of candy, and it'll thumb through it to find the one thing he's looking for.
Oh, so
annoying.
And
you're like, kid, you know, come on. And depending on the age of the kid, I'll just throw him something if he's older.
Today, Junior?
Yeah, exactly. Or if they're younger, you just kind of grin and bear it, you know?
Right.
Especially if they have a hot mom.
Well, Todd's married.
Which
doesn't mean he can't window shop.
Whoa. Take it easy.
Bill, you're engaged and you're always talking about these hot women.
Yeah, Bill, what's your favorite part of Halloween, Bill?
Oh, the girl's dressing up like revealing clothing.
Yeah, with the duct tape on the breasts and all that.
Oh,
whatever,
yeah.
You know, whatever the heck you were sending us the other day.
The Fifth Element.
Don't you judge me, Bill Enright.
Oh, I'm just saying. It's a little different. Todd's married with kids. I'm engaged, and my girlfriend never listens to my radio show.
There you go.
As far as you know.
Well, actually, she used to back in the day when we were on Sirius XM all the time, and about 3 weeks before the national championship, Catherine Webb, I'm blanking on his name.
Brent Musburger?
Yeah, before Brent Musburger made Catherine Webb famous, I was the one that pointed her out to everybody, and my girlfriend was very upset that I went on a little rant about how hot she was.
Yeah, but here's the thing. As long as you say, I mean, there's nothing wrong with you saying, oh, this woman is, like, beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, what Musburger did, he was like, oh, this girl is really hot. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think it was the fact of the age difference, which is what made it creepy to people.
Well, I'm not debating that. I'm just saying my girlfriend got
But what I'm saying is you should be able to say that woman, that lady, is very attractive. She's a good-looking
woman. All
right,
you can explain that to her. Good luck, dude.
All right.
Good luck.
I'm just saying. Todd, what about you? If you
You don't think I tried to have that conversation?
Todd, if you went to your wife and you were at a wedding, right, without the kids, you're at a wedding, and you were like, oh, the bride, she looks stunning.
My wife's cool like that.
Yeah, so you'd be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just Bill.
Yeah,
Bill got a raw deal.
At a wedding, it's totally different. We're talking about
scantily clad. All right.
Yeah.
No, my wife. I mean, my wife is cool with all that. It's no big deal, at all.
She knows where her bread's buttered.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know that either. But
let's talk some fantasy football.
It left Bill speechless.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. If you guys like Halloween, feel free to give us a call. We're trying to help you win your fantasy football matchups in Week 9. Thursday night football action, Bengals and the Dolphins. Gentlemen, what do we think about this game? Bigger disappointment so far, Mike Wallace or Lamar Miller?
Mike Wallace. The $60 million
Mike
bust.
Mike Wallace.
Terrible. Should
have had Miller. A touchdown against the Pats last weekend, but he dropped it.
Todd, I think you said it. $60 million contract this guy got in the offseason. I mean,
Bill, you and I half joked about it.
Straight cash.
Exactly.
Bill, you and I joked about it in the summer, but we were half serious about it. We're like, what is his motivation now? Right?
He goes from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He goes from Pittsburgh, the Steel City, okay?
Yeah.
Down to South Beach. And he has $16 million in his wallet, so to speak. So what was his motivation? I avoided him in all of my drafts. I just thought he wasn't worth the price tag of where he was going, where his average draft position was.
Right.
And I'm glad because, you know, I don't have this headache. I mean, he's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we expected from Mike Wallace, certainly the bigger bust than Lamar Miller. But other than the game against the Patriots, Miller really hasn't been doing a whole lot either.
Well, he's been a headache, too. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah. Again, I got him. It always goes back to me as to where what I paid for the guy.
Right.
You know, in my draft or in free agency or whatever. And with Lamar Miller, I got him, you know, I got him where I was kind of supposed to get him. And I had my expectations in check with Lamar Miller. I think you were a little higher on him than I was.
I was, yeah.
I was a little like, well, prove it, you know. But he wound up on a couple of my teams. And, yeah, he's been a terrible headache. And I think I've started him, like, twice through 8 weeks. So... But Mike Wallace, I mean, he's definitely the bigger chump in my view.
Now, when we look at the Bengals, Andy Dalton, 11 touchdowns in the last three games, including 5 last weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Red Rifle can stay red hot?
Bill, if it wasn't a Thursday night, I would be much more confident. You know?
These Thursday night games.
These quick turnaround games, we rail on it every week. And here we go again. He's hot. He's red hot. And he's found another target in Marvin Jones in the red zone. So that's good for him. Will he stay hot in Miami? I don't know. We're going to get a lot of questions on it because we've been getting them all week, Bill. Do I start Andy Dalton or Andrew Luck? Do I start Andy Dalton or Matt Ryan? I mean, we're going to get a lot of those questions today.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a lot of people in that kind of situation where Andy Dalton's been playing so hot. And before the last couple of weeks, you know, he's been the quarterback too. But he's putting up numbers where you have to ask yourself, should I be starting him? It's undeniable what he's been doing on the field.
Yeah, he's red hot. Yeah. Like I said, he's smoking hot. So, I just hate these Thursday night games. So
I know.
If he was playing on Sunday, I would be much more high on him this week than I am now. But I still think he could be fine. But, I mean, they're on the road. They had to travel to Miami.
Yep.
It's Halloween. Yep. Who knows what's going on with all that. Didn't they activate Andrew Hawkins today?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
But Mohamed Sanu might not play, so
right.
There's a little bit of moving parts there. I mean, A.J. Green, as long as he's in, that's what makes the offense go because he's throwing all those double teams, leaving other guys wide open. You know, the big misnomer with Marvin Jones, by the way, Bill?
Yeah, what is it?
He had 4 touchdowns last week, which is unbelievable.
Right.
Do you know how many snaps he played?
How many?
19.
Not a whole lot.
No. So if you're thinking that, you know, this is some guy that's just cemented himself and he's out there every play, if you haven't watched the Bengals play much, that's not him. You know, he's out there a little bit, and he's definitely out there in the red zone, which is what we want in fantasy.
Yeah.
But just, you know, how many Hall of Famers have 4 receiving touchdowns in a game in their career?
Not many.
Yeah. So, you know, people are going nuts on Marvin Jones. Just cool your jets a little bit with him.
Slow your roll. That's right. All right, so that's the Bengals and the Dolphins kicking off in just a few hours on Thursday Night Football. We'll go through the rest of the Week 9 matchups, including the Patriots versus the Steelers in just a little bit. Again, we're taking your fantasy football start and sit questions, or if you want to talk about the Pats, or maybe you have a good Halloween costume idea and you want our opinion, our phone number is 855-728-7500. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. A little bit later in the show, Kerry Bird from coldhardfootballfacts.com will join us to talk about the dumbest and smartest teams in the NFL. But first, I want to take a phone caller. We got Avi in Miami. He's in the 10-team standard league. What's going on, Avi?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
We're doing all right, but probably not as good as you.
Are you hanging out with Mike Wallace down there with a Mai Tai?
No, you know it's funny, bro. I'm actually going to the game like in a couple hours. I'm trying to get out early.
Nice. You know,
How far are you from the stadium?
I'd say maybe half an hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
Be honest with us. What is the atmosphere like in a Dolphins primetime game?
All right. So listen, I'm a Pats fan. I moved down here maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
So this is the way it works. I'd say the first quarter, it's cranking. I'm not going to lie. It is, you know, and it gets loud. And then after, I'd say maybe by the third quarter, and this is no joke, and it's happened to me four times, you have the Dolphin cheerleaders dancing only for New England Patriots fans because the Dolphin fans are gone, completely gone. And the best thing about it is that they have to smile, man. They have to continue, smiling throughout the whole game.
I mean, does it get too hot down there? Is the team that bad? What is it?
No, I don't know, man. It's just there's no loyalty down here. I guess there's so many Jet fans, so many Pittsburgh fans down here. You know,
really?
It's even a couple of years ago, the Heat. There were non-factor down here. LeBron comes down here, and now everyone's a Heat fan supposedly since
since they're winning.
Hardaway. Yeah,
right.
That's just the way it is. It's completely different than up north back home, you know?
All right, so what do you got for us today?
All right, so I got three things for you, and I kind of need your help, all right? So
no problem.
It's regarding, I know I should have called a couple of days ago, but it's regarding Andre Brown, I know, from the Giants.
Right.
All right, I know he's hurt, all right? This is my running backs, all right? I got Lynch, I got Fred Jackson, I got D'Angelo Williams, and I know that Jonathan Stewart is going to play soon, and then
yep.
I'm trying to pick up Shane Vereen.
Okay.
All right. Now, I want to pick up Andre Brown because, I love Fred Jackson. He doesn't give me too many yards, but I know he always gets at least one TD a game.
Right.
Lynch is a go, but I still want to pick up Brown. I want to release one of my receivers. All right. Now, this is a standard league. Now, here's the list of my receivers. It's kind of crazy. I have a lot. I have Gordon. I have Demaryius Thomas, Keenan Allen, Danny Amendola, Antonio Brown. I had Marvin Jones for a while now, and I have Kendall Thompson. Do you guys think it's worth, dropping one of these dudes for Brown?
Yeah, drop Tompkins. You already have Amendola. No need for two Patriots wide receivers. Plus, you got Vereen on the bench, too. You're not going to start that many Patriot players. So drop Kembrell Tompkins. And Andre Brown, that's a good stash and grab, man, because you know what? He's going to come back after the Giants bye week. He's going to be not only 100% healthy. He's been practicing for the last 3 weeks now, and they said he could have played 3 weeks ago if it wasn't for them putting him on IR and him not being eligible to return after a certain allotted amount of time. So Andre Brown, excellent opportunity with the Giants as their offense is starting to pick it up things a little bit. Brandon Jacobs is not going to steal carries away from him. Maybe Peyton Hillis gets, half of the carries. Him and Andre Brown split it, but Brown is certainly worth picking up. I think he's going to help you out just in time for the fantasy football playoffs.
Nice. Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm thinking,
Yep,
and then
that's a good move.
One more question. It was it's actually regarding a trade. So I have it's a quarterback trade. I have Superman.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, and then I also have Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
All right. So I love Cam. I do. Cam, I almost got to 30 with him a couple weeks ago, but I think Stafford's just. I mean, based on the week, it's been more reliable. I've been thinking about trading Cam.
Okay.
All right. Now, my only weakness in my team is my tight end. I have to play Clay tonight from the Dolphins. That's all I have.
Okay.
You know, and I know this guy that wants to trade the tight end from Cameron from the Browns.
It's Jordan Cameron.
Right. Yeah, Jordan Cameron. I know it's a lot because I know Cam puts up points, man. You can't
trade Cam Newton for Jordan Cameron. The value is just not there. You're making your opponent's team better. I like where your head's at. But keep in mind, Stafford's on a bye this week, so you need Cam Newton for this weekend. But after that, I'd be shopping him around all over town, but just not for Jordan Cameron. Make sure that he gives you a running back and Jordan Cameron, or a wide receiver and Jordan Cameron. Otherwise, you're just giving him too much value. You're making his team too good. And to be honest with you, Cameron's not the guy I'm going after anymore. It's Julius Thomas, it's Gronk, it's Jimmy Graham. Those three tight ends are the guys that I want. You're talking about the elite tight ends right now. Jordan Cameron with Jason Campbell throwing him the football. I'm a little bit concerned there still. I know Josh Gordon had a good game, but he only had four catches. He ended up breaking a big one. So I'm a little bit concerned about Cameron with Jason Campbell going forward. There's some other tight ends that I like a little bit better.
Is it PPR?
Standard.
Standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see. I mean, like, it's funny because this is a 12-week tournament, you know. So I think the first two have bye. I'm already in the playoffs just based on my ranking.
Right.
I want to get that bye. You know,
sure.
I got some guys that they got a nasty team. I kind of want to avoid them. You know.
I mean, but I would go after Jimmy Graham, Julius Thomas, Rob Gronkowski, even Vernon Davis. But I would make sure I get a running back or a wide receiver in that deal.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it all depends on who needs a quarterback, too. If there's someone struggling that needs a quarterback, that's who you need to go after.
Yeah, I'm going to shop him around, see what I could get. I mean, I definitely want to look for a tight end. And again, you know, running backs, receivers, mostly running backs. I could always, you know, stash a good running back. That makes sense. All right, guys.
Yep.
Have fun, man. At the game.
What's that?
Have fun at the game tonight.
Yep, have fun at the game.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you, man. And I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, best of luck.
Bill, he's got a good idea, okay? We're at the time of year where, you know, it's time to make that one final push in the trade market. I mean, a lot of trade deadlines are coming up in fantasy, right?
Yep.
And if you've got two quarterbacks, I tried doing it. I have Romo and Peyton Manning. Tried shopping Romo, you know, and wasn't able to pull it off yet. But now's the time to do it.
Yeah, see, that's the problem, Todd. Quarterbacks, it depends who needs quarterbacks in your league. It's tough to get rid of a quarterback if there's no need for one.
Well, an Avi's in a 10-team league.
Right, so that makes it even tougher.
There's not a lot of guys that are hurting. And again, we haven't, knock on wood, we haven't had, like, major quarterbacks go down to injury like we have other positions. Major quarterbacks, right?
No, we haven't.
I mean, we had Sam Bradford, Jay Cutler, but those guys weren't top 10 or top 12 quarterbacks in the preseason. Am I missing someone?
No.
Yeah. So that's another reason. You know, if you have a week where, God forbid, like three top 10 quarterbacks, you know, are injured, well, then now you really are in a good situation if you have Cam and Stafford. So
I think the only quarterback that didn't get injured but got downgraded that was in maybe the top 5 or the top 10 was Matt Ryan, and that's because of the injury to Julio Jones and Roddy White.
Right.
And even so, he's still playing pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, quarterbacks, I mean, we preached it all summer long that there's so much depth at the quarterback position. There's no need to reach for one early in the rounds. And you grab a guy like Phillip Rivers, you take a guy like Andy Dalton, and they're putting up the same kind of numbers that, you know, Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III are putting up.
Right. Right, but you can't trade him for Jordan Cameron.
No, it just doesn't, you know.
No.
You can't be doing that. Can't be doing that. Quick Halloween discussion. I saw Tom Brady and Coach Bill Belichick dress up for Halloween. Coach Belichick was a pirate. Tom Brady was the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz. I'd love to hear what Patriot fans think about their quarterback, the future Hall of Famer, the three-time Super Bowl-winning passer for the Patriots, being the Cowardly Lion for Halloween. But I want to know who had the better costume, Brady or Belichick?
Belichick, by a mile.
Kevin, what do you think?
I'm going to say Coach Bill.
I mean, what? Listen.
Like, Tom wore, like, a lion suit, big deal. Bill's was, like, a whole getup.
Yeah, he had a sword, he had an eye patch.
He had everything. He's legit.
Now, does the fact that Brady's wife, Giselle, the supermodel, gorgeous, was dressed up as Dorothy. Does that kind of help Brady's case at all? I mean, better eye candy on the arm?
No.
No, not at all?
He put on a lion suit.
All right, better costume. Did you see Samantha Ponder, formerly known as Samantha Steele, ESPN reporter? She was dressed up as Wendy Peppercorn from the hit kid classic from the 90s, The Sandlot. Kevin, I'm sure you remember Wendy Peppercorn, right?
I remember.
Now, she was dressed up as the cheerleader, the lifeguard, of course, from The Sandlot. Her husband, Christian Ponder, quarterback from the Vikings, was dressed up as Squint, so they got married in the movie. But who had the better Halloween costume, Giselle as Dorothy or Samantha Ponder as Wendy Peppercorn?
Ponder.
Yeah?
I'm going to go with Giselle.
You're going to go with Giselle? I'm going to go with Giselle, too.
Because she's Giselle.
She's just amazing.
Yeah, so someone posted, I saw it pop up on my Twitter feed when that photo started to come out. And I had to look up on Urban Dictionary because I thought it was like a dirty term. It was like, check out this hot Dorothy. I was like, is that like a hot Carl or something like that? You know, I didn't know what it was, a hot Richard. And so I looked it up and nothing came up and I clicked on it. And I was like, okay, it must be safe. And it was Giselle as Dorothy. And she was indeed hot.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Giselle on that one.
All right. I'm in the minority here.
Scariest player in the NFL.
Does Giselle have warts?
What?
Does Giselle have warts?
Where is that from?
That's from Rook. Oh. Rook was asking, Eric made some point that, you know, even if you were married to the most beautiful woman on earth, like Giselle, over time you would see her quote-unquote warts, like her, you know, imperfections. And so, you know, Rook just kind of like quipped, like, does Giselle have warts? And I thought it was funny. If you just kind of clip it, you can take it out of context and it sounds funny.
Yeah.
Does Giselle have warts?
Who is the scariest player in the NFL? Marshawn Lynch, Terrell Suggs, J.J. Watt, or Ndamukong Suh? Scariest player.
Suh.
If Todd votes Suh. Kevin?
Honorable mention, Merriweather.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
He's psycho.
Yeah, I agree. I'd go with Suh.
I'm going to go with Marshawn Lynch, man.
In the Big Bang Clock.
I'm going to go with Marshawn Lynch.
That's Merriweather, by the way.
To me, he's a scary dude. Comes from Oakland, California, not a very nice place. In the Big
Bang Clock. Guy eats Skittles. How scary can he be?
I don't know, man. You ever see him run the football?
Yeah, I've watched him once or twice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dude, Suh, he'll stomp on you when you're down.
Marshawn Lynch will go beast mode.
Yeah, but you know he's coming. How many cheap shots is Suh going to rack up this year? I mean, seriously. Heaven forbid. Like, when you're a quarterback, you throw an interception, okay? Suh realizes that one of his D-backs behind him intercepted the ball and is running towards you, and you are a quarterback. Your head needs to be on a swivel.
He is a bad, bad man.
God will destroy you.
All right. No Terrell Suggs. No vote for Terrell Suggs, huh? Or J.J. Watt?
No.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here. More fantasy football advice coming up. Also, we'll break down the Patriots and Steelers matchup along with the rest of the games in Week 9. You're listening to the Football Nation show on Patriots.com Radio.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
But Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright here with Kevin Collins and Todd DeVries talking about some Halloween costumes. We actually got a quick email as we're still on the subject. I want to get to this email, and then we'll go back to the Week 9 games. Zach emails us. He says, in a football life, Bill Belichick, Randy Moss coordinated a roller derby night on Halloween back in 2009, and everyone wore costumes. Bill Belichick, if you go back and watch the film, was a pirate. He is a repeat costume wearer. What do you say about that? What do you guys think about repeat costume wearers?
I still think it's fine.
He pulls
it off.
Once a pirate, always a pirate?
Yeah, and he can use that on, like, National Pirate Day. You know?
Arr.
Yarr.
Yeah.
Everyone has to talk like that on National Pirate Day.
Yeah. All right. We should do a show on
that. I have no problem with that.
Okay. Just wanted to check.
Now, what would you like to see Coach Bill dressed up as? If you were in charge, if he called you up, Bill, and said, Bill, this is Bill. having problems coming up with the Halloween costume. Can you hook me up?
I don't have anything good to say. I'll tell you what, the New York Post does a really funny job when they pulled him as the Emperor from Star Wars. You know, with, like, the hood?
Yeah.
The big, big black robe and the hood?
Yep.
Why doesn't he just, you know, have a little fun with that?
That would be pretty good.
That would be good. Like, he's poking fun at them poking fun at him. You know what I mean?
He acknowledges it.
Yeah, right. I like that. That would be cool if he did that.
There you go.
He's listening, so maybe he'll do that in 2014. All right, big slate of games as we're heading into Week 9. We kind of talked about the Bengals and the Dolphins a little bit earlier in the show. Thursday Night Football has been relatively boring this year. We understand why, of course. It's a short week, not a lot of time to prepare. Players aren't 100% healthy. But let's look past the Thursday Night game. There's six teams on bye this weekend. The Broncos, Cardinals, 49ers, Giants, Jaguars, and the Lions. So a lot of fantasy playmakers not in action this weekend. We're not going to do our predictions. We'll save our predictions for the Pats and Steelers after the at the end of the show. But what do we think about this game? Steelers very disappointing thus far. They're 2-5. Pats struggling a little bit on offense, but they're still winning games. They're sitting pretty at 6-2.
Yeah, this game doesn't have quite the sex appeal it did a couple months ago, does it?
No.
I'm pretty sure when they put this in the 4:25 time slot, the TV guys were a little upset with how this is shaken out because not a lot of juice. If you're, the Steelers are struggling like epically.
They lost to the Raiders last week, Todd.
You know, the Raiders aren't as bad as you think.
Come on.
At home?
I guess.
I don't know. The Raiders.
Well, I'm saying the Steelers are bad. They're 28th in points. They're 23rd in yardage yards per game. They're 30th in rushing yards. So much for Le'Veon Bell really bringing the Steelers back to a power rushing team. And then you compare that to what the Patriots have been doing this year. 22 points are on average, so they're 17th in scoring. Patriots are 18th in yards allowed. And their rushing attack is actually pretty good, top 12.
First one to 17 wins.
Yeah, you think 17 is the magic number this weekend?
18. 17 and a half.
What about 23-17?
Well, that sounds about right. I mean,
I guess maybe I should save my prediction for later.
Yeah, I thought, I
blew it on that one.
Bill, cat's out of the bag now, Bill.
Yeah, 23-17. We'll get Kevin's and Todd's predictions later in the show, but you already have mine. How about that? How about that for a tease?
All right. Well, that's kind of what I was just saying. 17.5, 18 a win. I don't know. This game, I mean, honestly, watching the Patriots has not exactly been fun for me this year as an outside guy watching. You know, there's other teams that are much more fun to watch than the Patriots.
Yeah.
Other than most of the Patriot games come down to the wire. That's entertaining. But the style of play, I mean, Bill, we talked about it on Tuesday. Fantasy-wise, Tom Brady is the 25th best fantasy quarterback thus far this year.
What is going on there?
I mean, that is just ridiculous. So
obviously, I know what's going on. He doesn't have the same weapons as last year, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a mess. The Steelers don't offer too much more. I mean, I guess Antonio Brown in the PPR, from time to time, he'll go off and have a big game. I don't know what to tell you about this game. I mean, if I'm the Steelers, I try to get Le'Veon Bell going. He's kind of been on and off each week.
Right.
He had 84 yards in his total yards in his debut, and then he dropped down in this next game. Then he was back up to 99 yards, and then last week back down to 50 yards. He's kind of back and forth and back and forth. I think they need to get him going so that the Patriots have to, defend the run, and then hopefully Big Ben will have a little bit of time to throw because he's getting rocked, Bill.
Well, that's been Big Ben's situation for the last couple of years now.
How about this for a stat? Did you hear this one? Le'Veon Bell last week.
Yeah.
At the Black Hole at Oakland. All right, there's that stat, yards after contact.
Right.
Okay. Le'Veon Bell was hit in the backfield so often last week that he had more yards after contact than he had total yards for the game.
Really?
Yes. He had 13 rushes for 24 yards. Okay. He on those 24 yards, most of those should have been negative plays. That's basically what we're saying. So he had something like 28 yards after contact, which was more than the yards he put out there. He just was getting destroyed. So their O-line is just terrible.
Well, I don't know what happened to the Steelers. They're another team, kind of like the Giants, that got old very quickly.
Yeah. Well, if they lose this game, they're officially done. They'll be 2-6,
right,
and they're out. So they're kind of in must-win mode now.
And the Bengals are playing tonight, so we'll know if the Bengals win already. They're 6-2. They could be 7-2 by the end of the weekend, by the end of tonight.
Yeah, that would not be. Well, you know, it's pretty safe to say that they're probably not going to catch the Bengals. They got to try to weasel their way into that last wild card spot, the Steelers, somehow. And if they're going to do that, they got to start winning right now. So,
right.
Now, you know what? It's going to be a sloppy game. And we've seen a lot of sloppy games with the Patriots so far this year, Bill. And this is shaping up to be another one.
You know, where's Kevin? Because, like, this is the time that he should be chiming in when we're talking about the Pats. And he's chatty Cathy for the first segment of the show. And then he kind of just disappears the rest
Someone's
of the show.
Someone's going to answer the phones?
The phone just started ringing a second ago. I saw the ringer pop up, like, literally as I was mid-sentence. I was like, oh, there's an excuse. Someone has to answer the phones. Such a cop-out.
He's hungover.
Poor guy.
He still reeks of champagne. Right?
Yeah, probably. He's probably has such a headache. My annoying voice is, like, piercing through his skull right now. Todd's candy corn shaking in his ear.
Yep. He's not, you know, he went from the greatest night of his life to the most worthless 2 hours ever for him. Kevin, make it short and sweet. Do you think this will be another sloppy game?
No, I don't think it's going to be. I think the Dolphins' defense is...
No. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, my God. You are so off right now.
I just was putting this guy's fantasy call up on the board. I'm sorry. I had to ask him, like, what his name was 10 times.
That's fine. Patriots and the Steelers, who do you like in this game? Don't give your prediction.
No.
Todd wants
to know if it's going to
be sloppy.
Oh, hey, I was on point. What I'm saying is the Dolphins' defense that the Patriots played last week,
yeah,
I think is a lot better than what they're going to face in Pittsburgh on Sunday.
That's a good point.
And what I'm saying is I think that Pittsburgh's basically a sieve, especially against the pass, and I think you're going to see Tom Brady start to look a little bit more like Tom Brady and get in a rhythm here. I think the Patriots are going to put up some points. I think they're going to score 30 or more points.
Whoa. I've been saying that for the last couple weeks.
And we got to be right at some point, right, Bill? And
it's like, just keep saying it?
I don't have a lot of respect for Dick LeBeau's defense this year, which is a rare thing to say.
Last 3 weeks, Steelers have given up 6, 16, 18 points.
Yeah.
Or no, 6, 16, 21.
I'm not buying it. I think that they gave up 18 to the Raiders.
Last three games.
They gave
the
up
Jets
6 to the
to
Jets.
Six.
Yep.
Yeah, 19
and
to
I'm
6.
I'm doing this off the top of my head. And what was the other one?
They beat the Jets 19 to 6. They beat the Ravens 19-16, and they lost to the Raiders 21-18.
Okay. I'm going to stick with my gut. I just think the Patriots are going to put some points up. I think, having said that, you know, we're still not sure. I think I forwarded you guys the injury report earlier. We're still not sure about the Tlaib situation. He hasn't played the last couple weeks.
Right.
I think he is literally like the linchpin of this defense. As important as Mayo and Wilfork were, I stuck by my guns when those guys went down and said, this guy, Tlaib, is the most important guy on their defense.
Mm-hmm.
I just have an inkling that he's probably not going to play with the bye week coming up. I think they're going to try to get through this week and then give him the bye. And if that happens, he'll have literally had a month since that initial injury with his hip.
Right.
So if I go by that, I think the Steelers have the ability to put up some points as well with Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. I see this something like,
No, wait for it. At the end of the show, we'll
okay
do it.
But I just think that you're going to see more scoring. We'll put it this way. More scoring this week than you've seen out of these Patriots games the last couple weeks.
Well, that would make sense because this is the weekend to do it. Steelers just have not been playing good football.
No, I will say this. From, you know, we talked to a couple of the Pittsburgh writers earlier in the week as guests on PFW and Playbook. They're kind of thought on this, and Big Ben said this in open locker room, I believe, on Wednesday. He said this is a must win if they have any hope left of trying to get a playoff spot at 2-5.
And that's what Todd said too.
Yeah, so I think that they still think that they're alive and have a chance if they can pull this thing out, and that's always dangerous because, you know, you're playing a team who's kind of put their backs up against the wall, so to speak.
Right.
So that, you know, that worries me. In the Patriots and Steelers have always played good, hard, physical games. There's been a few blowouts here and there, but for the most part, it's been a very intriguing matchup over the last 10 years. So I think it's not going to be a blowout, but I think you're going to see a higher scoring game than, you know, what Pittsburgh's 18 points last week. We'll put it that way.
Todd, remember a couple weeks ago when we read the report saying that the Pittsburgh Steelers took the ping pong table out of the locker room. Do you think that made a big difference?
Breaking news.
They're 2-1.
They're 2-1. 2-1 since the ping pong incident?
Yeah, 2-1.
All right.
I mean, last week was – that's the – you know, we say that this team is trying to put their backs up against the wall, trying to rally, trying to circle the wagons and get this win and keep themselves alive. But you look at last week, guys. That team was 2-4 going into Oakland. And, you know, it's still I get it. Terrell Pryor's made some plays, but you give up a 93-yard run, the longest run in for a quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right off the bat, that was one of the first plays of the game, I think. And you're down right off the bat. They never recovered. They made the score close. I believe their kicker missed.
You missed two easy field goals.
Yeah, you know, two easy field goals. So if you put those on the board, they win. And I know if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. But still, I mean, that's a game. You go into Oakland, you expect to win that game, and all of a sudden you're 3-4, and it's a lot different than 2-5, you know?
Right.
And there's probably a little bit of a different vibe. I believe that would have been maybe their third win in a row or something like that. So you gotta wonder, you know, what the team's trying to talk themselves into, we're still in this. We can still do this. And that only goes so far after a really tough loss last week and flying back across the country. You know, we've talked a couple times with the Patriots this year about, you know, the Patriots have won in Atlanta and then laid an egg in Cincy. You know, when you have back-to-back games on the road, it's tough to win in the NFL. That second leg is very difficult, especially when you're doing transcontinental or whatever the heck travel that they're doing.
Yeah.
So I think you got to take all those factors into consideration. The spot, I think, makes it a competitive game for Pittsburgh, but I still don't think they're as talented a football team as the Patriots.
I mean, I don't think anyone's arguing that point.
It is what it is. As a Pittsburgh fan, and we know how rabid those fans are, it's going to be you get off to this awful start, and you're thinking, all right, the season's over. But then all of a sudden you win a couple games, and you're going into Oakland, and you're thinking, all right, we get this one. It's 3 in a row. All of a sudden, we're only one game under .500. We still got a ton of divisional games left. You know, there's some optimism and hope there at 3-4 going into the second half of the season. And now it's just sort of like at 2-5. I think they're really just trying to kind of, you know, they're bailing the water out of the boat, so to speak, to try to keep it afloat. And I think the Patriots can really sink their ship this week with a loss.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, the most they've scored this year was 27 points, and that was back in week 4.
Yeah.
The last 3 weeks, they've scored 19 points 3 weeks in a row.
Ooh.
Is that crazy or what?
Very 19, spooky. 19, 18.
Spooky.
Oh, 18. I'm sorry. Last week was 18.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think guys, we can all agree if they come out of here with a loss on Sunday at 2-6, they're done.
Done.
And they're just gonna pack it.
I think they're done now, but
I mean, and Bill, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think that a lot of these comments coming out of the locker room, especially from Big Ben, who's the leader of that team, are just trying to kind of convince themselves, Bill, that they're in it. You know what I mean? Like trying to rally the troops and trying to get some belief back in that locker room after a pretty terrible loss last weekend.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and Mike Tomlin's always been this kind of rah-rah guy on the sideline. So, you know, it would have been a curious week to be a fly on the wall of that locker room trying to see him get his team kind of emotionally up and ready to play for this game.
Sure.
But they're professionals and they're, you know, they've been a strong organization. I don't think they're going to pack it in on Sunday. I think that it's a game, guys, that if the Patriots, say, get out to a quick start, say they start 10-0, 14-0, I think you could see them pack it in, but I think they're going to, you know, they're going to come ready to play.
Well, remember a couple weeks ago when they were playing against the Bears, and Todd, I think you broke this down on this show.
They hosted the Bears, I think.
Yeah. Right, and the Bears got up early, but it was either a penalty. Todd, what was it? It was either a penalty or a quick turnover, and that kind of kept them alive in the game. Otherwise,
it was a roughing the punter.
Yes, you're right. It was.
Roughing the punter, right.
And that was the game Antonio Brown made that ridiculous catch.
Yeah.
In the back of the end zone.
I mean, they still ended up losing that game.
Yep.
But the point is they were basically out until that the punter penalty,
and so,
which gave them back in the
game.
And
so along with those lines, Bill, if the Patriots don't turn the ball over, I think they'll be all right. I mean, I think if the Patriots are sloppy and you see a pick six like you saw in New York with Brady, or, you know, he threw a pick on the first drive last week, set the Dolphins up, you know, inside their 40, and they score a touchdown. If you're going to gift wrap them some things, it just leads to more belief on that sideline. You know, if I think if you're the Patriots and you're Coach Belichick, your motto here is, all right, here's a AFC rival who's been in the playoffs a bunch of times. They've had a ton of matchups with these guys in the playoffs and AFC title games and this, that, and the other thing. You have a chance to kind of sink their ship and their season right here. You know, that's one less team that you're not going to have to worry about chasing you down or meeting in the playoffs. Like, let's end it right here.
Right.
And let's not give them any life or any reason to believe. I think that's sort of your motto if you're the coaching staff.
What is Belichick's record the week before a bye?
I'm not sure the week before. I know week after is ridiculous.
I know.
Coming out is he's like 34-3 or something like
Andy
that.
Reed's
ridiculous.
Like that too. What?
Yeah. I'm not sure what it is before.
That would be interesting to know if he can find any sort of motivation from that. You know, nothing's come easy for the Patriots this year, guys.
Right.
Just look at their scores. Like we said, other than week three against Tampa Bay, which was a blowout, you know, even last week's game, that was their second biggest winning margin, and that game was, you know, looking pretty dire in the first half.
Yeah.
So nothing comes easy for these Patriots, and I don't think that Pittsburgh's going to get blown out
in
here.
In years past, Todd, just to sort of kind of piggyback on that point, a concern of a lot of New England fans has been, you know, going into the playoffs when they have years that they're 14-2, they're 16-0, this, that, and the other thing. You know, are they battle tested? They're blowing people out, this, that, and the other thing. This team, with through the injuries and the comebacks that they've had, you know, being down 17-3 at halftime, you know, the Brady drive against the Saints, this, that, and the other thing. This team has been through some stuff. So
we talked about it last week, Kevin. I said that because remember I have the Patriots going to the Super Bowl and winning it, and I've been saying that all of this stuff that they're going through here is going to benefit them when it comes to the playoffs. They just need to somehow get some sort of health going on by the time December rolls around.
Yeah, I think the bye week is going to be much welcome, even for a guy like Brady, you know, whose hand obviously looks nicked up, even though he refuses to acknowledge it. And, you know, you see Vereen out there on the practice fields, guys, this week, which I know is a welcome sign to Bill. I know he was a big Vereen guy in fantasy.
Can't wait to get him back. Both
of us, yep.
And so, you know, this was a week. Now, granted, it's a little bit skewed because you have guys on IR that are out for the season, such as Mayo, such as Vollmer, such as Will Fork.
Right.
But having said that, in terms of the guys that you think either may be back or have the ability to play right away, this is the first week since the start of the season that they've had full participation in practice.
Right.
So as they start to get these pieces back, you would like to think, and logic would like to kind of tend to think that, you know, they're going to get better. They're going to improve. But it's just, I'm not taking the offense for granted, guys. A lot of the fans that are writing in and calling into the shows this week think that the offense is just going to have this epiphany and all of a sudden click and start scoring 30, 35 points a game. I don't think that this team is built like that anymore.
Nope. They're not.
You know, they're a different team, and I think the earlier that people kind of accept that this is more of a team, I'm not saying as good defensively as those 03, 04, 01 teams, but it's more a team that's, you know, well-rounded, that can contribute, you know, on the defensive side, the offensive side. Steven Gostkowski was named, I think, the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. You know, he's got his head on straight after having a rocky year last year. Mm-hmm. Ryan Allen, the rookie punter, you know, beats out Zoltan. You know, so they have guys. Edelman on his punt returns has been fantastic. They have guys that can contribute in all these different ways, and it's more of a team effort, which is kind of cool to see. But I think that you have these people still expecting, all right, Amendola, you know, he's younger. He's more athletically gifted than Welker, and we got Gronk back. And we're going to go out there and we're going to score a billion points. It's just not going to happen. In the offense, you can clearly see last week, guys. I think Brady threw the ball only 22 times last week, guys. Like, when is the last time you remember hearing Brady throw 22? He's usually at least in the 30s, if not 40s and 50s. So it's definitely a different product you're watching, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a product that can't sustain success.
What do you think Todd, let's run through the Patriots schedule and kind of go through the wins and losses for the rest of the year.
All right, Kevin.
Yep. You have the schedule in front of you?
I've got it. Ready? Okay. This week, Pittsburgh.
That's a win.
All right. Bye week. Then Monday, November 18th, at Carolina.
We got them at 7-2. Carolina's 8-2.
No, just no problem. They're just going to beat Carolina.
Yeah, they're going to beat Carolina 8-2.
All right. Short week at home, Denver.
I'm giving that one a loss, 8-3.
Yeah, I don't think they can win that game right now.
At Houston.
Win, 9-3.
Cleveland, home.
10-3.
At Miami.
11-3.
At Baltimore.
11-4. They lose to Baltimore at Baltimore.
Then Buffalo at home.
That's a win, too.
12-4, Kevin, you on the page with that?
Yeah, I think that's realistic given what we're looking at. I mean, and you may be able to interchange some of those losses, but I think that I could, you know, I think they're going to lose two more games, and I wouldn't be surprised if they lost three. But I don't see them losing any more than that.
So for all the negativity, for all the criticism, for all the hoopla that we're making about the Patriots
the
struggling
negativity
this season,
that's in this town sucks.
That's right. So for all of that that we're doing right now with the Pats, they're still going to finish 12-4 on the year. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. You never know what's going. You never know what can happen. The league's crazy. But
yeah, that's true.
But you know,
I think it'll be. I think there is a. There is. I think there's a pretty good chance it'll be 11-5. But even still, 11-5, 12-4.
Yeah, either one, I think, wins the division, guys. I really do.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the Jets are going to have a collapse.
I think what you're jockeying for, guys, is not necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily. You're probably not going to get. You're not going to get the one seed, but you're trying to jockey for. You know, Denver or KC is probably going to get the one seed, and you're jockeying for that second bye, that two seed. And I think that for a team like the Patriots right now that is already so banged up halfway through the season, I think not necessarily just from a coaching perspective, having the extra time to prepare the team, but just from a health perspective, the bye is like really important to them this year.
So that being said, tonight's game, Patriots, Patriots fans, who are they rooting for?
You're rooting for the Dolphins.
Yeah, you have to.
There's no doubt about it. You know, you've already beat Miami once. They're coming up here late in the season.
Right. They're not a threat.
That team is falling apart. I believe they've lost like four in a row or something like that.
Yeah, they've lost four in a row. They win, they're 4-4.
Yeah. I just think that they're – I don't view them as a legitimate threat within the division. And I think that especially with Cincinnati already having beat you head-to-head, you're going to lose that tiebreaker.
Right.
So I think you got to be rooting for the Bengals to lose the game.
100%.
Totally agree. I'm glad you said that because, you know, sometimes when there's a divisional rival, you know, you root against them no matter what.
Yeah, I think it's really important too, guys, that when you have a team like the Bengals who's right around you record-wise, that head-to-head is huge. And, you know, you're only getting one crack at them and the Patriots lost.
Yep.
And so it's really like if you're a game behind them, it almost feels like two games, you know?
Right.
So it's really important, I think, to be rooting against those teams that are around you in that mix for the end of the season bye.
Let's jump to the phone lines real quick. We got Josh in Charlottesville needs some help setting his lineup in week 9. What's up, Josh?
What's happening, gentlemen?
Doing all right, man. What do you got for us?
All right. I'm really torn between this one, man. I want to know who to start between Andrew Luck and Alex Smith. I know the Colts and the Texans are both coming off of a bye week, man. I mean, I saw what Andrew Luck did against, you know, the Broncos and whatnot, but you give that Texans a good bye week to prep for him, man. I mean, I'm just kind of doubting his success this week a little bit.
I understand where you're coming from, but when you think about fantasy potential, it swings big time in the direction toward Andrew Luck. I mean, Alex Smith can get 275 yards, one or two touchdowns, but Andrew Luck is going to get that pretty consistently, and his upside's a lot more. So I'm going to go with Andrew Luck in this situation.
I would agree. You know, it's not as much of a no-brainer as you think, though, Bill. Honestly. I mean, if you look at the total fantasy points for the season, mm-hmm. you want to know what they are for these two guys?
What do they got?
Andrew Luck, 137 fantasy points.
Okay.
Alex Smith, 138. Just saying. And you got Alex Smith at Buffalo. Is that a good matchup or what?
Yeah, good matchup.
And Luck at Houston, as caller just said, Josh just said, you know, you never know. Houston might turn things around, maybe not. I'm not sold on Houston turning things around. I'm just saying it's not as much of a no-brainer as you just made it out to be.
You know what? There's been four games where Alex Smith hasn't scored a touchdown compared to Andrew Luck's two games without a touchdown. I have Andrew Luck ranked number 9 this week, Alex Smith ranked number 11. So it's pretty close, but I'm leaning toward Luck.
Yeah, I would lean towards Luck only because of the rushing ability which nobody ever talks about. He has 183 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns rushing this year. He did the same thing last year, Bill. No one talks about it. And people should talk about it because in fantasy, it's huge. He can get you an extra, 3 to 9 points in the rushing game.
Right.
That's what I like, is that he has that ability. Alex Smith hasn't really shown much of that this year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Alex Smith, listen, he's going to get 250 yards and maybe a touchdown, but that's it. There's no upside with Alex Smith. He's not going to break. He's not going to get 3 touchdowns. He's yet to break 300 yards this year. To me, Andrew Luck has that potential to have a really big game where Alex Smith just doesn't.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm playing my friend John this week, and I think I'm probably going to be watching the game since I'm on Sunday, too, so I'd really just love to stomp him in the dirt this week. Plus, I think he's, like, first in his division, too. So.
Well, are you going to be with him on Sunday night? Because that's when Andrew Luck's playing.
Yep. Yes, I probably will.
All right. See, primetime game, primetime matchup. You can talk some trash to your buddy. That's what I'm going with, man.
All right, Josh. I appreciate it, fellas. You guys rock.
No problem. Thank you for the compliment. Happy Halloween to you. Kerry, we are pleased to be joined by our good friend Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com.
You're as cold as ice.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the Cold Hard Football Facts, right here on Football Nation.
As we do every week, we like to get a statistical analysis from Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. No one looks at stats the way Kerry does. Before we get into the NFL analysis, Kerry, I want to talk to you about Halloween.
Yep.
Because I know you like to tailgate. I know you like your buffalo wings. I know you like your beer. But are you a big candy guy? Did you love trick-or-treating as a kid?
You know, I've never been a big Halloween. Even as a kid, I was never a big Halloween kid. I'm not a big Halloween guy now. I like the season. I love the season, guys. Who doesn't love football and the cool air and the beautiful trees and all the kind of pageantry of autumn, right?
Right.
Halloween itself, I'm not a trick-or-treater. I read all the old stories. I read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow every year. It's kind of a tradition I do. I kind of love the spirit of the season, but getting dressed up and going out was never my thing, even as a kid or as an adult. So that's my take on Halloween, Bill. What about you?
Kerry, I'm with you, and so is our producer, Kevin. Todd is outnumbered 3-1 on this show in favor of Halloween.
Well, Todd, is it because you have beautiful young kids, or were you always a Halloween guy?
Always.
Really?
Always.
Todd, what does Todd
DeBreeze go out as for Halloween?
See, my Halloween's evolved through the years, Kerry. I started out as any young, red-blooded American doing, I would wear the Spider-Man, those little masks that would suffocate your face that you would get at Kmart back in the 70s and early 80s, Kerry.
Yep.
You and I are about the same age. You know what I'm talking about. The plastic costumes. Then I went, got to the college years where it became more of a drinking festivity. Then after college, it remained a drinking festivity until the kids came around. But right around the time I got tired of the whole thing, dressing up, Halloween parties, then my kids came around, and now they do all that stuff. So it's kind of just evolved over the decades for me.
Well, I can see that. I don't know. Like I said, I love the season. When I'm done with this, I'm going to carve my jack-o'-lantern. So I have a jack-o'-lantern out there. We have a lot of kids in my neighborhood. We're going to have a busy night. But I just don't, my friends had a guy, when I was on, who has been on Patriots.com radio and on Football Nation radio a lot, Frankie C, has a big Halloween party. He's all about getting dressed up, and he has a big Halloween party, and you have to get dressed up or you can't go. And most of you have to say, screw it. I'm not going. I don't want to have to go. I don't want to have to dress up. So that's the thing to me. It's just kind of, I think it's a little silly for grown men to dress up as Fred Flintstone.
See, Kerry, at least you do give out candy to trick-or-treaters, and you have the jack-o'-lantern on your front porch.
You don't even do that, Bill?
I have my lights shut, my doors are locked, and I'll be watching this Thursday night football game.
That's just evil.
Wow. It is what it is.
I'm not on your team, Bill. I'm in the middle of you and Todd.
Nope, I could care less. I don't want these kids annoying me. I get off the radio at 6 o'clock tonight. The trick-or-treaters have already been ringing my doorbell. Hopefully you guys haven't heard it over the microphone. But they're going to be annoying me for the rest of the night. I'm going to get very aggravated at one point. There may be an incident with a police report attached to it by, the end of the evening.
Crazed anti-Halloween velvet.
Yeah, exactly.
Step at number 1, but don't step at number 2.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, Penny, one thing we could all agree on, guys, we all love football.
That's
we got
right.
A big weekend coming up, and what are you guys excited about this weekend?
Well, Kerry, I would love to talk to you about the King of Props. He's been on fire. I know he has a bet ready for Thursday night. What is the King of Props laying down on the line tonight?
Well, you know, we got a great. I love the fact that we have football on Halloween. That's pretty cool. The King of Props this week, Bill, offers some Miami advice. You may not be old enough to remember Miami advice, but
with Don Johnson, of course I do.
This week we have
Tubbs and Crockett, baby.
Yeah.
What's that, Todd?
Tubbs and Crockett.
That's right, Crockett and Tubbs. And it has to do with Dolphins tight end Charles Clay. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
We don't want to give away the King of Props. He's got money-making picks all year. He gives out four props every week, one on Thursday, two on Sunday, one on Monday. He's got one tonight that involves Charles Clay. And what he does, he kind of gets right in there, breaks down why player X or Y is or is not going to cross a certain threshold, and tonight he's looking at Charles Clay.
I like that, Bill. Miami advice. Love it.
Miami advice. That's pretty good. I never watched the show, but isn't Don Johnson the guy from that show?
Yeah.
See, Bill.
I don't know who the hell you guys were just talking
here's
about.
Here's what we're doing. Next Halloween, Bill, I'll come over to your place, and we'll dress up like Crockett and Tubbs.
That's cool.
And we'll hit the town.
All right.
There
which
you
one,
go. You gotta, you
which
know
one will I be?
I still have a Crockett and Tubbs jacket hanging in the closet of my parents' house.
Somewhere. I think that's, I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Who is that?
It's Wes Welker.
If you were our age, I guarantee you, if you were a teenager in the 1980s, you would have had a Crockett and Tubbs sport coat.
Wes Welker doesn't approve.
Wait, Wes Welker during an interview said, I don't know, I think that's kind of gay?
I don't know. It's kind of gay.
What was he talking about? I didn't hear that quote.
What a loser.
I have no idea.
We don't know, but all we know is the second he said it, Kevin spliced it up.
Yeah, don't play that again on the show. I don't like that, Kevin.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Wes Welker, we have a piece this week, and I don't know if it was on the something you guys want to talk about, but Wes Welker, we have this Cold Hard Football Fact this week, the most important, biggest impact receiver in the history of the NFL.
Now, Kerry, I have a little bit of a problem with this article, to be honest with you, because you are the guy that is always against wide receivers, the shiny hood ornament law. You're always knocking the wide receivers. So why, in this case, are you praising Wes Welker? Let me hear it.
Well, like we say, he's a historically rare performer who, when he goes to a new team, big things happen. I mean, right now we're talking about the Broncos right now, guys, are on pace to score 686 points.
Mm-hmm.
They probably won't get there. The schedule's much tougher over the second half of the season.
Right, it gets cold,
The Chiefs, they get the Patriots. You know, they've only played one quality opponent so far this season, and then that was the Colts, and they lost that game. So,
right.
But still, they're probably going to crack 600 points this year. They're probably going to go down as the highest-scoring team in history. That means three of the four most prolific offenses in history had one thing in common, Wes Welker.
Wow.
Not only that, that's the 2013 Broncos, the 2007 Patriots scored 589 points, and last year's Patriots scored 557. Right now, the third highest scoring offense in history.
That's crazy.
He'll have been a part of the two most prolific offenses in NFL history, three of the four most prolific, and five of the 14 highest scoring offenses in NFL history. Right now, he and Tom Brady are the only players to be starters on offenses that scored 500 plus points four different times. And by the end of the year, he'll be the only guy to be on five different teams that scored 500-plus points. He'll be the only one. He's the common thread with all those teams. And I agree that we talk about wide receivers as shiny hood ornaments, overvalued. They don't add a lot to offense. But as we say, Bill, Welker appears to be one of the few exceptions and certainly the most empirically historic exception to this irrefutable law of football. And it's no coincidence that when he went to the Patriots, by the way, his first year with the Patriots, their scoring in 2007 climbed by 12.7 points per game over what they scored in 2006. This year, the Broncos scoring up 12.8 points per game over what they scored last season.
Pretty much two touchdowns almost.
Yeah, two touchdowns. And the funny thing is how we put this, Wes Welker makes a mockery of conventional wisdom. You know, all we hear about is, GMs and owners drool over the potential game-breaking wide receiver and dish out big bucks and high draft picks to land a guy the big speedy guy who can beat you downfield.
Right.
Wes Welker meets none of those criteria. He works underneath. He's a short ball catcher. He's a totally unique receiver in the history of the game. And he kind of tells us that everything the experts have told us about the receiver position throughout history is wrong. They've had it wrong all along. It's a guy like him who makes things up, makes things move.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's have a little fun here, the three of us, or even if Kevin's listening in. Let's play the what-if game.
Yep.
What if the Patriots had re-signed Welker and not, you know, obviously not gone down the Danny Amendola path? What do you think we would have seen from the Patriots and the Broncos if things had kind of held to form with Welker and he stayed in New England?
Well, let me put this out. It kind of to tie into my shiny hood ornament mantle that say receivers are overvalued. The Patriots at this point last year were 5-3.
Right.
They're 6-2 this year. For all the points they scored, their defense wasn't a particularly good defense. Really, the difference for this team, and why I think the Patriots are a better team this year without him, is because their defense is so much better. So, if we're talking Wes Welker with this year's defense, we're talking a deadly team. But I don't know. I think during the Wes Welker years and the Randy Moss years and all those years from 2007 to 2012, the Patriots were scoring all those points. I think the team psychologically de-emphasized defense. They weren't as good. I think it's very interesting that all of a sudden, with the Patriots have the best defense they've had since 2006 by any statistical measure. And I think a part of that is they've had to kind of change the way they play football. And I think part of that is not being so reliant on scoring so many points. And you know what? Like I said, guys, they have a better record right now this year than they had at the same time last year.
Welker's best season with the Patriots in terms of touchdowns was in 2011. He had nine touchdowns.
He already has
nine touchdowns already.
Yep.
So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and listen, and the other key, though, too, and why, like I said, to me, you can empirically make the argument that he's the most impactful wide receiver ever. And it's hard to, there's no really way to argue for anybody else. It's not, because nobody has gone to two different teams and then had this kind of impact. But the key, guys, if he went to Jacksonville and, say, Tennessee, he would have been Wes Welker. He's had the fortune of also playing with the two best quarterbacks of our generation.
Right.
So, you know, it's still the quarterback who is the catalyst of it all. And you know, there's a reason Wes Welker was nobody playing with, playing in Miami with, David Carr, I think. Was it David Carr was the quarterback in Miami that year? 2006. No, Joey Harrington was the quarterback in Miami in 2006.
Okay.
That's why Wes Welker was a nobody, because who was throwing him the football? You go play with Tom Brady, you go play with Peyton Manning, and all of a sudden, he's the most impactful wide receiver in history.
It'll be interesting to see if Welker, in the playoffs, will have that big, huge catch in crunch time that he lacked when he was with the Patriots
and
the last couple of years.
And that's a knock on him. That's the one thing I agree, John, and that's the one thing we've not seen. You know, but even, I got to point this out, even Jerry Rice, guys, averaged 4.5 catches per game in the playoffs.
What does Wes Welker average?
What's that?
You said Jerry Rice averages 4.5 catches in the playoffs?
Yeah, he averaged. So my point is, the greatest receiver of all time, universally proclaimed.
Right.
Even then, they don't touch the ball a whole lot. That's one reason why they're typically overvalued, because, even Jerry Rice only touched the ball 4.5 times per game in the playoffs. And does anyone think he's not the best big game receiver of all time?
Right.
So that's my only point in bringing that up, you know, and so, but I think, you know, it is amazing that when Welker's gone to two different teams, that instantly their scoring production went up by two touchdowns per game. That's pretty phenomenal.
Kerry, let's talk about the smartest and dumbest teams in the NFL right now. Love the intelligence index. You can only find it at coldhardfootballfacts.com. Go through some of the matchups this weekend. Where are the mental mismatches, as you like to call them?
Yeah, well, you know, the intelligence index is it's one of our insider-only stats still. If you come to Cold Hard Football Facts, you know, we give out plenty of great information. But the really good stuff we provide for insiders. A great reason to become an insider is to check out the intelligence index. And what we do, we rank every team in situational football. How well do you play in situational football week in and week out? And the teams that are the best are the smartest team, the smartest, most well-coached teams in football. And the teams that are the worst in situational football are the dumbest teams. So we rank it 1 to 32. And each week we pick out mental mismatches. And what makes these so impressive is that they're 14-2 straight up, our mental mismatches. They're 11-5 against the spread, which is a money-making number, obviously.
Yeah.
But not only that, smart teams on average, Bill, have been favored by 6.5 points. They've won by an average of 16 points.
Wow, that's
a big
jump. So
our mental mismatches, these are teams that are winning and winning big and doing it week in and week out. And I'll give you, we got three of them this week, three mental mismatches. I'll give you one of them, okay?
All right.
Indianapolis at Houston. Indianapolis, a slight favorite on the road. But here's the difference. Indianapolis is number four on our intelligence index, one of the smartest teams in football. The Houston Texans, 31st, the second dumbest team in football. If not for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Houston Texans would be without a doubt the dumbest team in football. But you know what? You can make an argument that Houston still is the dumbest team because Jacksonville is not a talented team. Houston's a very physically talented team.
Right.
That's losing because they make stupid mistakes over and over. And by the way, the two dumbest teams in football, 2-13 against the spread so far.
Wow.
Oh.
So I can run through the numbers. The four dumbest teams in football are 8-22 against the spread, and the eight dumbest teams are 18-42 against the spread, guys. These are money-making numbers. This is why we look at the intelligence index, because it's a way to separate winners from losers against the spread, because, you know, most fans, most bettors, the wise guys, are looking at the team's physical capabilities. They're not looking at their mental capabilities. And when you look at those, you can pick winners week in and week out, like we do with the intelligence index.
Carrie, I'm glad that you were able to join us on a very special Halloween edition of Football Nation. Go carve your what is it called? Jack-o'-lantern. But listen, get ready because the kids come, and once they start coming, they don't stop. That's why I don't even open my door for one kid. It could be the cutest little kid ever.
Halloween, Billy Enright, you are in.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen.
Take care, Cats. Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Check out all of the quality stats, and you can follow him on Twitter, @FootballFacts. We're going to take a quick break here on Football Nation, but when we come back, your fantasy football advice with our Stardom Sit'em. We'll go through the rest of the schedule in the NFL, plus your emails, webradio@patriots.com, and you can give us a call, 855-728-7500. More Football Nation coming up right after this.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February, because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Welcome back to Football Nation. Final segment of the day, special Halloween edition of our Week 9 show here on Patriots.com Radio. We have a lot to get to today. We're going to try to do it as quickly as possible. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. We're going to the line now where Todd in Jacksonville is patiently waiting. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy Halloween.
Thank you very much, man. Same to you.
Hey, I called you up on Tuesday asking you who are dropped between Wallace and Roddy White to pick up Marine. You guys told me Roddy. But I didn't listen. I dropped Wallace and I got Marine. And the reason why I didn't listen is because I have this guy who wants to make a trade with me. Roddy White and either Ridley or Chris Johnson or Brandon Marshall.
You're going to have to repeat that one more time. Wait, you're going to give up Roddy White and you're going to get Brandon Marshall? That's what I heard.
Bill just had a stroke, Todd.
Yeah, what? Well, you have to say that again, Todd.
I'll give up Roddy White and Stephen Ridley or Chris Johnson, one of those two guys. And I'll get Brandon Marshall back.
Give up Chris Johnson. Hey, you know what? Stephen Ridley's been playing a lot better than he started off in the beginning of the season, and I kind of bashed him a little bit here on this show just a few weeks ago, and he must have been listening because he started paying attention. He started playing a lot better, and Fantasy Football Manager certainly appreciate that. I know Patriot fans certainly appreciate that. Chris Johnson, too big of a boom or a bust play. He can crush you some weeks, but he can also help you out. But at least Stephen Ridley, you're going to get some consistency with him.
Who are your other running backs, Todd?
Ray Wright, Le'Veon Bell, Shane Vereen.
And who are your wide receivers?
I've got Dez, Keenan Allen, Boykin, and Harvin coming. Well, Harvin's sitting there.
Is it a full point PPR league?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Marshall would really do wonders for this squad. I don't mind giving up Chris Johnson.
Oh, it's full point PPR?
Yeah.
Oh, our producer typed in 10-team standard.
That's my bad.
He doesn't know what that. He doesn't know what that means. Kevin doesn't know what that means.
Oh, if it's a PPR, yeah, I'm totally down with that. Now, you're going to be a little thin at running back, though.
Yeah, you know, I mean. It's
yeah, but you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, do you want Ridley and Vereen?
That's what I was thinking, because it's his choice whether he wants Johnson or Ridley. So I was thinking, leaning towards Ridley, since I have Vereen, although Ridley's the better running back.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, you don't want Ridley and Vereen. It's going to be rare when you start both of them.
Right.
Hopefully, Vereen is as good as he was in week one. That's what I'm expecting. I've been holding on to him since he went down with the wrist injury. Yeah. I think he's going to be fine. I know he started practicing again this week. That's good news. The team has a bye next week. He'll be ready to go in week 11. And if full point PPR, he's certainly a running back you'll want on your roster. All right, Todd, best of luck to you.
I think.
Yeah, that's a deal I would do. The full point, the PPR is what sealed it for me, though.
Yeah. That's where Marshall makes his money, man.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Even with Cutler down, you got to figure Marshall's going to get his touches. So
right.
I'm down with that trade.
All right, let's jump over to the emails, Todd. Do you have the first email of the day?
Yes.
Okay,
it's Josh from Stratford, Connecticut.
Hey, Josh.
He would just like to say thank you. We are now 7-1 in my standard league, and I promise to split my winnings if we go all the way, which is $2,000.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you write that, now I have that in writing. So I'm going to stick. I have your first name. I have your last name. I'm going to keep you to that. And $2,000, I mean, if you only split it with me 50-50, I'm down with that. But if you want to split it with Todd, I guess we have to cut him out of the deal. Now we're splitting it three. Now we're splitting it three ways.
Well, and Kevin's not involved. That's
I feel that's what I was going to say. There's no way we can include Kevin in this splitting.
No.
But Josh, you know what? To be honest with you, keep the money. Sign up at ffchamps.com. We'll call in an even trade.
All right, he needs some help. So please help me with the lineup because this week's buys are killing him. All right. Really, he has Kembrell Tompkins. Would you start him over Kenny Stills at the flex spot for wide receiver? That's really his only question.
I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can trust Kenny Stills. I realize he had 129 and 2 touchdowns last week, but you know what? He only had 3 catches. He's going to be inconsistent. Maybe this week it's going to be Lance Moore. Maybe it's going to be more Jimmy Graham. Maybe it's going to be more Darren Sproles. I doubt it's going to be more Marquise Colson, but it's a possibility. I would rather see Tompkins in the lineup over Kenny Stills.
Really?
Yes. I think they're both going to be a hit or miss.
They're both crapshoots.
Right. They're both hit or miss.
I'm gonna ride the Saints. I think
okay.
Drew Brees is playing much better than Tom Brady. Aaron Dobson's coming on a little stronger at the moment for the
Patriots.
That's
a good call. That's a good call.
I don't think you can have high expectations for Kenny Stills at all, but I'm going to give him a slight edge over Tompkins, so I disagree with Bill.
All right, that's fine.
Next question, it's entitled Simple Fantasy Question, Bill.
I like the simple ones.
This is from Terry T. in D.C.
I like the name, too.
Yeah, I like it, too. Should I consider starting Andy Dalton over Andrew Luck this week?
And we said that we're going to get a lot of questions like this earlier in the show. I'm not doing it. I'm starting Andrew Luck. I like the matchup against the Texans. You heard Kerry Byrne say it. The Texans are one of the dumbest teams in the NFL. The Colts are one of the smartest teams in the NFL. I appreciate and I like what Andy Dalton's been doing. 11 touchdowns in the last 3 games. But I'm going to stick with Andrew Luck even without Reggie Wayne.
There you go. All right. Now, on Tuesday, Bill, our biweekly emailer, Sven...
Yeah.
From Germany. We asked him to give us some information on Germany. You know,
yeah,
for you,
did.
Bill, because
sure.
You're geographically challenged. You're
that's correct.
Follically challenged and geographically challenged.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So he says, hey, guys, here's a lowdown on Germany. I don't know what you're interested in, so I gave you some key facts about my country. Okay?
Yeah.
The population, 80 million.
Okay.
The head of state is Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Ooh, a female. All right. I can get down with some females in charge. I like that.
Look at this. He lists cities for you, Bill. Now you can name, after reading this, you can name 6 cities in Germany.
I
Berlin's
like
the capital. Hamburg, Munich. Can you pronounce that one?
Cologne.
Look at that. Frankfurt and Stuttgart.
Stuttgart.
How about that?
Frankfurt.
Most popular sport is your favorite, Bill, soccer.
No.
The team from Munich is Bayern Munich is the current European champion.
All right.
The favorite dish. This is interesting, okay? What would you guess the favorite dish would be?
Some kind of like sauerkraut and brat.
Favorite dish, spaghetti, pizza, schnitzel.
Oh, schnitzel. Yeah. Spaghetti and pizza.
Is that all one word, Todd?
No, three words.
Spaghetti, pizza, schnitzel?
I guess the favorite dishes, I guess, is what he said.
Spaghetti and pizza, huh?
Spaghetti, pizza, and schnitzel. And he says that schnitzel is the favorite dish of most Germans, but the regional cuisine does offer a large variety of meals.
Wow, okay.
He says, if you want to know more, let me know. I usually listen to your podcast as we're 5 hours ahead of you. And by the way, I live in Augsburg, which is a city near Munich. See?
Augsburg. All right. So now I got six places I can name in Germany, and we know our boy Sven is from Augsburg. Very good. I like learning more.
Sven, give us more stats, more stuff about your country and about how you follow the Patriots over there. We'd be interested in how you became a Patriot fan. I would like to know that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What do you think about that?
All
right, back to the emails. James has he needs help at tight end, Bill.
Okay.
He's wondering if we should start either Kobe Fleener or pick up Greg Olsen this week.
You know, I kind of like Greg Olsen this week. He's been a little quiet, but Cam Newton has been red hot. Kobe Fleener, on the other hand, he's just been a big disappointment. The question is, Todd, do we think Fleener is the guy that steps into a little bit of a bigger role with Reggie Wayne being out? We know Darius Hayward Bay and T.Y. Hilton are the wide receivers, but is Fleener going to get more targets now?
Here's how I look at Fleener, and this is a baseball analogy, Bill, which I know.
I might not understand it then.
Fleener has two strikes on him, my friend. All right, coming into the season, we all said, okay, this is the year Fleener's, you know, he has 1 year under his belt. He's going to be a guy to look out for, a sleeper guy, okay? Didn't really work out that way the first couple weeks, right?
Right.
Strike one. Strike two, Dwayne Allen, his co-rookie tight end from a year ago, goes down to a season-ending injury, and we're like, oh, well, with Dwayne Allen out of the mix, Kobe Fleener's got to step in and be the guy at tight end. Did that happen?
Right. No.
No. Strike two. Now, what you just said is true, Bill. All right, Reggie Wayne is out now. Now will he step up? I'm banking on the answer being no. I think he's going to be inconsistent the rest of the way. So if you want to start Greg Olsen this week, I'm cool with that. I would lean Olsen over Fleener this week.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going with, too.
One more question. He has standard league, not non-PPR. Three wide receivers. Who would you start from this group? You've got to start three. Pierre Garçon, Keenan Allen, DeSean Jackson, Vincent Jackson, Jarrett Boykins, or Alshon Jeffrey?
I'm going to start with Vincent Jackson. I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson. And then to me, it's between Garçon, Jeffrey, or Boykins. I'm going to leave Keenan Allen out of the equation on this one. I would love to see Pierre Garçon get it going. And what did we say earlier in the season, Todd? The greasy wheel gets the squeaky wheel gets the grease?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And we heard Garçon start to chat a little bit about the lack of productivity on his offense, so maybe this is the week that Garçon gets his grease. So I'm going to go with Garçon as that third wide receiver.
That is one hell of a receiving core, by the way.
It's tremendous. I mean, the fact that he picked up Boykins, too, this is why I like – who is this, Jamie here? This is why I like Jamie's team.
James, yep.
Oh, James, I'm sorry. Wide receivers, clearly a strong point. Garçon, DeSean Jackson, Vincent Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey. Those four guys we know he drafted. Strong receiving core, but he still went out and picked up Keenan Allen, and he still went out and picked up Jarrett Boykin. Sometimes you have to look past need and go after the guy that's going to produce, because now he has these buffet of options, and he can't go wrong with who he takes. I really like what he did here, and he says, thanks, guys. Love listening to your show. Good job, James, going with value over need. I like that.
Totally agree. All right. Next up, Gabe from Chicago.
Hey,
what's up, guys? I have A.J. Green going tonight, so I'm hoping he's the one with four touchdowns today, not Marvin Jones. He has Jamal Charles as his running back one. He needs help picking another running back, wide receiver, and flex. So pick a running back from this crew, Lamar Miller, Danny Woodhead.
Woodhead. Doesn't even matter if it's non-PPR. Still going with Woodhead.
Agree. Pick a wide receiver from this crew, Keenan Allen, Danny Amendola, Kenny Stills.
Now, well, this one does matter if it's PPR.
Let's just say it's standard. It's standard scoring.
You know what? I'm going to go with Keenan Allen either way.
I agree. Then who are you putting in the flex? Lamar Miller or Amendola or Stills standard scoring?
I'm going to go with... Man. I'm going to go with Lamar Miller over Danny Amendola. I'm not happy about doing it, but standard scoring, I'm going with Miller.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. Next one. This is from Mike G. Hoping to get a little advice regarding a few things with my teams. Happy to report that because of your help that I'm undefeated in one league and 7-1 in the other. Holy crap.
There you go.
Even though it seems Bill is avoiding me on Twitter.
That's... Come on. Is that true? I'm trying to look. Listen, I'm getting a lot.
Bill's actually pretty darn good about getting back on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I try to get people instantly, and if I miss it, I'm trying to look. Mike G, I think his name's like Gherkin or something, right? Gidget Gherkin, Martin, dropped in PPR league, worth picking up over Ellington, Vereen, or Jordan Reed. I got back to him. I'm looking at a whole conversation I've had with this guy. Stafford or Rivers today? Stafford. He asked me if he should play Andre Ellington. I told him to play Andre Ellington. All right, so this last one, he told Martin dropped in PPR league, worth picking up over Ellington, Vereen, or Reed. I didn't get back to that last one. But every other one I got back to. Every lineup question that this guy has asked me, I got back to him. And not only did I get back to him, I got back to him with the right advice.
Heaven forbid, calling me out
on my own show. Are you nuts?
Kevin, if a poor kid rings his doorbell right now to trick or treat.
Oh, forget about it. This kid's going to end up with candy all over his...
That's
crazy. So did you answer these questions or not?
He didn't ask this question on Twitter, but...
Number one, PPR league. Should I stick with Sproles in the flex or put in T.Y. Hilton or Jordan Reed?
PPR league. I'm going with Hilton, man. I'm going with our boy T.Y.
Okay. Number two, Doug Martin was dropped. Is he worth picking up?
That's the question I didn't get to him on Twitter.
Here's the thing. In my view, if you can stash him, why not? That's my view. But it doesn't look like he has that kind of room, Bill. He'd have to drop Jordan Reed, Shane Vereen, Andre Ellington, or Phillip Rivers.
And not only that, we still don't – maybe this is why I didn't answer. It's because we don't know if Doug Martin's going to come back this year.
No, we don't know.
He does come back, maybe it's just week 16 or 17. So sometimes I don't answer dumb questions. How about that for a response?
Whoa. Bill.
What? Was that too harsh?
Was that too harsh? See,
he's calling me out for not answering him. I answer him every time, but he's asking me about Doug Martin. I don't know if Doug Martin's coming back this year. I wish I did. Unfortunately, Greg Schiano doesn't say, "Hey, Bill, by the way, fantasy football, if anyone needs to know, he'll be back in week 17, but we're only going to give him 12 carries because Mike James is playing lights out." I don't know what's going to happen.
Next emailer, Dan. All right, he may need us to talk him out of tinkering this week, Bill.
All right.
He's going to start tinkering with a good lineup, and now he's like...
Don't tinker.
Yeah. All right, I can drop one player for three possible moves. Pick up the Colts or Raiders D to play over the Bengals tonight, hope for the best.
Keep the Bengals.
Pick up Terrell Pryor to play over Luck.
Keep Luck. I like the idea of picking up Terrell Pryor, but not starting him over Luck this week.
Okay. Another possible move, he doesn't say who he can drop. I guess he has some dead weight. He could pick up Joyke Bell to handcuff Reggie Bush.
I would make that move. Yeah. I think you have to handcuff Reggie Bush the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't know who he's dropping.
No, we don't know, but it sounds like he doesn't care. It's a scrub.
Yeah.
He also took our advice and put in T.Y. Hilton over Garcon. Good. Still one spot to fill. Terrence Williams or Garcon?
Oh, man, that's close. Terrence Williams has been playing so well the last couple of weeks, scoring in, what, each of the last 4 weeks?
I'm going to say it, Bill. Terrence Williams is a safer play. Garcon has more upside, but he's more boom bust.
It really depends on what he needs this week. If he's going up against a powerhouse and he needs some more points, then go with Garcon. But otherwise, go with Terrence Williams. He's been getting it done.
I agree. All right, next one is Chris J. I'm in a predicament, Bill, he says. All signs say to start Romo over Drew Brees this week, but I'm supposed to start my studs. What do you think?
All signs say to start my studs. Wait,
no. No, he's talking about starting Romo over Drew Brees this week.
I like that move. Yeah, I have actually. Do I have Romo? I think I have Romo as my number. Wow, I have Drew Brees as my number one quarterback. But the way I wanted to do my rankings, if I didn't think there was going to be a riot at FFChamps.com, I would have had Romo as number one, because the matchup is against the Vikings is just too good to pass up. The matchup against the Jets is a little sketchy, and
it's a good week for me, Bill, because this is the one week I have Peyton Manning on bye. I'm just going to slide Romo in.
What would you do here, Todd? You're a Romo owner.
This is the first time I'm starting Romo this week.
See, I have Romo.
Because Peyton's on bye.
I have Romo and Luck in my Dynasty League, and I'm going to start Romo. Do I start Romo over Drew Brees? No, I don't make that move. I leave Drew Brees in my lineup.
That's what I do, unless there's some crazy, crazy weather in the Meadowlands.
Right. Right.
You know. I'm with you there. We have any left?
I think that's it.
I think that's it. How about it? We got through them. I'm always amazed when we get through these emails. There's so many of them. So how do you want to finish this off? Patriot predictions?
Patriot predictions would be nice, even though I already made mine earlier in the show.
Well, why don't you re-pronounce it?
All right. So what did I say? I don't even remember what it was.
You said 23-17.
23-17, I'll stick with that.
I'm assuming that's the Patriots winning?
Yes, Patriots winning 23-17.
Is Kevin asleep?
I don't know where he went. I'm still here, barely. So hungover, this poor guy, man.
Kevin.
The only way to get rid of a hangover is to continue drinking.
Yeah, the best way to detox is to retox.
That's right. Detox to retox, baby. I like that one.
What's your score prediction for this week?
I'm going to go... Well, I predicted them to score 30 or more points. I'm going to go... I'm going to go New England 31, Pittsburgh 24.
Wow, a lot of points for both teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
Todd, what's your score?
Bartman, can I make one caveat to that? If the weather's terrible, all bets are off. It's supposed to be cold. I don't think we're supposed to have precipitation, but the last couple weekends, they've said, oh, it's going to be sunny, and like an hour before the game, we've got like a really cold, windy rain, and then it's clear. So like if it's... You know, not saying it's like Cincinnati, remember that game, but you know, if it's 45 degrees and raining and blowing 25 miles an hour, then I reserve the right to change that.
But yeah, I think you are just depressing to listen to right now.
I'm all right, man. I'm hanging in there. I'm looking forward to get me a cheeseburger. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Grease it up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Going to Red Robin right after this, get me a big cheeseburger.
Red Robin. Yum.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Todd, what did you give your prediction for?
I'm on the fence, boys.
That's what? Who's going to win?
I'm on the fence as to who's going to win this game.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah. I'm gonna take the Steelers to cover. How about that? 23-21.
Okay. I like that game. 23-21. I like that prediction, but I think the Patriots end up winning. Any closing thoughts, Todd, before we take off?
Bill, turn your porch light on.
No.
Get a few baby
moves. Nope, not happening.
You know, put a few Hershey's kisses out there on the front porch.
Hershey's
kisses. I can't speak now.
Too much candy corn for you, Todd.
Yeah, I ate them all. I can no longer shake my candy
corn. It's going to lose a filling on candy corn.
Bill, enjoy Halloween. It's about to start. It's going to start
Bill,
in 1 minute.
Yeah, quit being Scrooge, man. Just even if it's one kid you make smile. Come on.
Yeah. You guys are really barking up the wrong tree. I'm sorry it's not going to happen.
Now, will your fiance hand out some candy?
No.
No. Okay.
She's actually, you know what? She's doing. She's trick-or-treating with her nieces. So.
Oh, that's nice. She'll get in the spirit a little bit.
I have a webcast to do at 7:30, and then I have a game to watch at 8:30. So
that's fair. Bill's working all night.
Yeah, I mean, give me a break.
You could hand out
time.
Candy from 6 to 7:30. I mean, that's when all the cute kids will be out, the little ones.
I got expert advice to answer at ffchamps.com. I'm very busy.
Yeah, he's got tweets to get after because he doesn't respond to them, apparently.
Exactly.
So it's just,
Got
to respond to your boy Gherkin.
Yep, that's right.
I have a feeling he's going to have a hate tweet headed his way after
you
this
You know what? No. I'm going to favorite one of his tweets. I'm going to
treat. See, we're getting him in the spirit, Todd. We're getting him in the spirit.
I'm going to kill him with kindness.
It's like that where, you know, we're subliminally massaging Halloween into Bill's brain.
Yeah. It'll get there eventually.
You know what my final thought is?
What?
Eating a bunch of cheeseburgers.
All right, Kevin, you go get your cheeseburger. Todd, you go trick-or-treating with your kids. Yeah. And I'm going to go back to FFChamps.com. Congratulations to the Boston Red Sox for winning the World Series. We'll see if the Pats can beat the Steelers this weekend. Best of luck in your Week 9 fantasy football matchups, and happy Halloween. Thanks for listening to Football Nation.
Eating a bunch of cheeseburgers.